going. We'll go ahead and get started with our training school lesson on tonight. We're still in Hebrews chapter 11. Looking at the examples through the examples concerning faith. So I think we'll start at verse 30, Hebrews 11, verse 30. I'll just start at verse 29, but I'll pray for us. Father Yahweh, we bless you again. As you, as we present ourselves to you, seeking wisdom and understanding concerning your word, we need your guidance, Yahweh. We know that by your spirit, you will give us everything that's necessary to operate within the boundaries of life and godliness. And we bless you for our Savior, Yehoshua. We just thank you for all that you do. In his name we do pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll look at verse 29, where it's giving examples of faith, and we'll see things that we deal with these examples. Verse 29 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry it says land is italicized, but the dry letting us know that it was the land that was actually dry. So they passed through the Red Sea, and the waters were that were parted, they congealed, and they congealed, all was frozen, and allowing them to pass through on dry ground. But then it says, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. They tried to pass in the same course and were drowned. And as I mentioned, there are certain portions of the Red Sea that you can, from what I've seen on some video, that you can deep sea dive. You can dive down there. You can actually see wheels of chariots and stuff that still down there that have fossilized. So the scriptures, when it's talking about this in verse 29, does reveal the truth. Verse 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. They were given instructions to pass by 7 days, and then after that, to give a shout, and from their obedience concerning what God had said, the walls came crumbling down. Okay. Verse 31 says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. All these are references as far as the Old Testament is concerned. Rahab, who helped the spies when she protected them from being discovered when they went and spied out the city. She helped them, and from that, from her doing that, she was, she's actually named amongst our tribes in the New Testament, as well as we see here. She's in the genealogy of our Savior. And so, as we look at it here, each one of these people are being used as a witness concerning faith in Yah. Okay, verse 32 says, and what shall I more say? For the time which failed me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Now, as you see this here, all of these individuals are a witness to us that when Yah decrees something, it is going to be exactly the way that he says it's going to be. And so when you look at verse 32, it's giving these examples of Samson and David, Samuel, and of the prophets. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. You continue, the list goes on in verse 34. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. When you look at the aliens, these are not talking about some Martians and stuff like that. It's talking about, basically, in a nutshell, nations that had no covenant with Yah. You know, and so when you look at all these things, everything that our ancestors of faith, everything that they did, these events took place as they trusted Yah, as they relied on Yah, as they put their trust in Yah. Now here we are, because for whatever reason, you know, dealing with things from the perspective of religion, you have people who use these examples of faith to talk about, you know, they got cars and houses and money and different things like that. When you look at these things here, these were life-threatening situations. To show us or to get us to understand that when we put our trust in Yah, there's not anything, nothing is impossible. Okay? Being in a situation where they subdued kingdoms, you had these that's listed in here. They subdued kingdoms. Even when you look at Samson and stuff like that, shoot, man, he drove those citizens crazy. Just one man. They were afraid of him and different things like that. When you look at, you know, our father David and all these Gideon had 300 men and, you know, took out nations and things like that. When you look at these different things and you see through faith, these what these people did, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness. You know, they did righteous things through faith, you know, obtained promises. You know, our mother Sarah, you know, again, the example that we use concerning her, she was old, I believe, 90 years old, and gave birth because she judged Yah faithful in doing what he said that he was going to do. You know, and these are just awesome examples that we can look at. So, again, who through faith subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, you know, what was that, Dan the lion's den? You know, they threw him down there to be eaten by hungry lions, and those lions didn't even bother him because Yah was with him. And Yah delivered him out of the lion's mouth. And so when you look at all these things, they are examples to let us know that it doesn't matter which situation that we're in, if we put our trust in Yah, and Yah promised us that a certain thing is going to take place, it is going to happen exactly the way that he said that it was going to happen. And that's the awesomeness associated with that's the awesome thing that's associated with living for Yah, being a child of Yah. Again, verse 34, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of sword. And now when you look at quench the violence of fire, that's when they were put in the fiery furnace. You know, all these are stories that actually exist there in the Old Testament. They, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were put in that fiery furnace. And And they walked around in that fire, nothing took place. Even the example that, you know, that I've given about when I was in our basement and was consumed by fire, but nothing. Why do these things happen that way? Because our trust is in God. All of our trust should be in God. And when He decree a thing, we don't have to worry about how it's going to turn out or if everything is going to be okay. Man, when God decrees something, we just go. We be like our father Abraham. We just go, not even knowing how things are going to end up. I don't need to, when God speak to me, I don't need to see the end result. When He speak to me, I don't need to see any step from that point on. You know, I said that's exactly the way it's going to be. I'll take the steps and then let them manifest as I take them. I don't need to see a path when y'all see. You know, and so I just use that as an example to show us how vitally important it is for us to depend on y'all, put our trust in y'all, to have faith in y'all. And when you decree a thing, it's going to happen exactly the way He said it. Okay? And so as you look at these different things, they take the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, were activated in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. No, the widow, I believe the widow woman, her child died, and she was providing a place to stay for the prophet. And when he got there, a child had gotten sick and died, and the prophet prayed for the child, and the child lived. You know, these are things through faith. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You see that part now. Now we understand faith full circle, because what religion does is put us in the mindset of thinking anytime we operate in faith, there is a specific result we're supposed to get. In other words, since I operate in, you know, by faith, there always should be a good ending or a happy ending to my story. But the scripture points out here that when we operate in faith, there may be times when some things may be presented to us whereby we can be delivered from destruction. All we have to do is accept certain things or compromise or deny Christ or deny God, or don't obey His commandments, and these different things, just so that we can live. Well, the scripture points out that there was some who said, I'd rather go through what I got to go through than to accept this deliverance and then miss out on the resurrection that's to come. My faith is more about the resurrection and the benefits of that than to take this deliverance that's only going to last for a short period of time. That's faith. And so that's why you get people that get disappointed, because they may be saying, well, you know, I was believing God for my healing. And since I didn't get my healing, then, you know, man, forget this faith stuff, you know. I'm not, no. My faith is in y'all. Our faith should be in y'all, regardless of the outcome. Whatever happens to me in life is always for my benefit. Why? Because I operate according to faith. We should operate according to faith. So you see it here, verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging. Yeah, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. So let us know that there are people who walk by faith that had some bad experiences too. Okay? A faith walk doesn't mean, or walking by faith doesn't mean that everything happens wonderful all the time. Moreover, bonds and imprisonment. Verse 37, they were stoned. Remember Stephen? Okay, something Stephen, Stephen. They were stoned. They were sawed asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Wait a minute, they ain't the faith that you hear people talk about in church nowadays. Everybody's faith testimony got to do with them, you know, I got a new house, I got a new car, I got this, and I got all that. Whoever stood up and said, man, my faith testimony is, man, you know, I was put in prison, but I endured. That's faith. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Verse 39, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Okay? They, in other words, they are our witnesses because things happen in their lives. But yet the promise that we're talking about, remember we've been dealing with the book of Hebrews, the promise that we're to focus on in this passage now, it brings us back to Christ again. All these were great examples of faith. All these are witnesses of faith, but yet none of them received the promise that was to come. All of them received some promises. They saw the end result of some things through faith. They were gave faith, gave birth, you know. Noah saw it flood. These different examples that we have here, but yet all these having a good report. Through faith, they received not the promise. Verse 40 says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So this promise now brings us right back to Christ again. Because it lets us know that even though they have good report through faith. There are some things that we can talk about. We have good report through faith. And so all these things here are good reports. Each one of us have a testimony in one fashion or another, whether good or bad, whereby when we went through that good, when those good things was happening, we said, well, Yah delivered me by faith. I can see Yah's promise manifesting in my life. I can see my destiny coming to pass. Now I realize why, you know, these wonderful things were happening to me. On the other hand, I went through a lot of bad things. I went through a lot of terrible circumstances. There were some things that happened to me that I'm not proud of. But I realized that it was through my faith in God, even though I wasn't quite where I am now. I remember the times when I didn't acknowledge Yah as my Savior. But because of my destiny, there were things that Yah was constantly delivering me from through faith. I always acknowledged it. I've always acknowledged Yah, but there were times when I didn't acknowledge Him as my faith. When you'd ask me back then, was I saved? I would say no, because of my limited level of understanding. And I felt like back then, you know, when I, so to speak, living right, you know, I felt like back then, well, you know, if I died, I'd go to hell. And I realized through all of the good times and bad times, when good things were happening for me and bad things were happening for me, you know, or happening to me, good things were happening to me and bad things were happening to me, I realized that through all of that, God was establishing something in me to the point to where I could be a witness for him today. Man, I've been through some tough times, but yet Yah, through him being faithful to me when I wasn't faithful to him, him being faithful to me and guiding my destiny, I now can look back on everything and say, you know what, everything that I went through, whether it was good or bad, Yah established it to the point to where I have a good report. I'm not a witness to know that Yah indeed is true. He indeed is the creator of all things. I've had the experiences enough now to where I can be a witness. I can give a good report. Whether the circumstance was bad or good, I can still be a witness. I can give a good report. And so, with that in mind, he said, now these are all examples that we've given in Hebrews chapter 11, but yet, as verse 39 points out, all of these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Yah had provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Yah said, I got something that's going to make everything perfect. Gonna make everything complete. Gonna make everything mature. Then when you go in the next chapter, it starts to reveal even more so, you know, Christ, who he's referring to. Hebrews 12, now verse 1 says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We have a cloud of witnesses. We can go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and we can look at all those clouds of witnesses. Okay? We have all these clouds of witnesses. It says, now with that in mind, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does do it so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now let's deal with some words so that we can understand verse 1. Okay? Wherefore seeing we are compassed, surrounded, about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let's just open it up here. it says to be found to lay all around, enclosed in circles, so it's around in a nutshell. With so great a cloud of witnesses, when we look at the word witnesses, it means a record. Okay? These people are bearing records. Lay aside, when you look at the word lay aside, it's just put away. Every weight, there are things that are hindering us. When you look at the word weight, it means burden. It means hindrance. Okay, so it says, let us lay aside every burden, every hindrance. It says, as the sin, when you look at the word sin, it says offense, things that are sinful, which do it so easily beset us. What does beset mean? Okay. You look at the word beset, it means, I'll look at different versions of it here. When you look at the word beset, it means every direction. You start running reference on it. I'm going to go back here. It deals around figuratively with respect to a place called a time, so when you look at it, it's referring to sin and ways. It says, wherefore sin we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily now surround us. They sit us, which so easily surround us. There are things around us. We have witnesses now. We're compassed about with witnesses. So since we're compassed about with witnesses, don't let hindrances and sinful things now compass us. okay? Don't let these things sit us back. Don't let them surround us. Okay? There are certain things we got to be able to lay aside in order to run that race, in order to run with patience the race that sits before us. Yah is saying to us, in a nutshell, when we look at verse 1, he said, when you look at these examples of Hebrews chapter 11, he said, these are witnesses that encourages us to continue to run. Look at them. Look at these clouds that are surrounded by these cloud of witnesses. We can look at examples of one another. It says now, in order to run this race with patience, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, we need to have the right surroundings. Okay? There are weights, there are hindrances, and sin. When you look at sin, there are offenses. There are things that hinder us, and there are things that will offend us, that will put us in position now where we're not patient in running the race that is set before us. What race is set before you? Huh? Yeah, I'm just asking in general. What would you think a race that is sitting for you? What we call it doing life. What Yah had said. Paul said, if I fought a good fight, I finished my course. I kept the faith. Paul was bold. And make it all that's just fine in you. You just do it the old fashioned. You hate the bad. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 17, look what Paul said. I started at verse 6. Paul knows he's getting ready to die. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Okay? When you look at the word, departure, offered, he's saying one life or blood. That's what he means. He's talking from a perspective of a sacrifice. So he said, "But I am now ready to be offered. I'm now ready to be as a sacrifice." That's what he's saying. That's why he says the word offered. Because he knew that the life he lived in following Yah and Christ put him in a position where his life was always in danger, to the point where it was close time for him to die, because you know he was in prison and different things like that. And so his mindset was verse 6, but I am now ready to be offered. I'm now ready to be this blood sacrifice. He's using that as a cliche, so to speak. And the time of my departure is at hand. That's why he said in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have a good report. Hebrews chapter 11. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I kept the faith. Now, since I kept it, there's some promise to me. Colon. Henceforth, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yah the righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not only, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Well, this is Christ now. Okay? And so Paul's mindset is, I fought the good fight, I kept the faith, I finished the race. So when you look at that Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it is letting us know that in order to do that, we got to, with whenever there are things going on to cause us to get discouraged or to cause transgressions or offenses and all these different things to come, hindrances for whatever reason or another, we got great clouds of witnesses that stood, regardless of the circumstance, good or bad, that stood, and because of that, they're just like Paul here. That's the promise that he was is talking about in Hebrews chapter 11 at the end. When it says all of these died, not having received the promise, they had faith that when they died, they, just like Paul, had a crown of life, a crown of righteousness that was going to be available to them at the appearing of the Son. To the point where they were saying, I wouldn't have died for that. I'm going to die. I'm not going to take deliverance. Paul could have denied all of it, could have quit preaching Christ. He could have denied everything, and they probably would have let him go. He could have went back and started saying, you need to obey the law for righteousness and all these different things. Forget about Jesus. Don't worry about Christ. Don't worry about Yahushua. Just forget all of it. None of it is true. They would have let him go because the Jews would have been satisfied, and all the other people would have been satisfied. They would have said, let that man go. But Paul said, Now, this is my course. And if in my course has to do with me being a sacrifice for my walk with Yah in Christ, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm willing to lay aside every hindrance. I'm willing to lay aside every offense in order to reach that mark that's been laid out for me. That should be the mindset of everybody that's in my book. And all those who truly want to be followers of Christ. Second Timothy 4, verse 6, 7, 8. And then, 6, 7, and 8. It says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I did not deny my faith in Yah and His Son. I kept it, and since I kept it, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yah in Christ, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. That's the witness. Hebrews chapter 12, now again, verse 1, says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about for so great a cloud of witnesses. Paul is a witness. He wasn't mentioned. I don't believe he was mentioned. He wasn't mentioned, but yet, that's what Paul is actually writing here. Nobody mentioned it. I just thought we was in Hebrews, yeah. So Paul is the one who wrote this, and so he doesn't mention himself, but yet we can go look at an example of him to see he's amongst those same witnesses. I fought the fight. I kept the faith. Just like everyone who's of a good report. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Anything that hinders my faith in God, you gotta go. Anything that causes me now to be surrounded in sin, it gotta go. Why? Because just like Paul, I got a crown of righteousness waiting on me, and ain't nobody gonna get this. Nobody on the planet is gonna mess up my crown of righteousness. So Paul says, in order for us to do that now, we have to look to all those who are willing to endure these things, whether good or bad, whether promises or promises to come, where all those things where we've had to endure by faith, we are willing to endure to the point to where anything that is a weight, hindrance, lay it aside. Anything that is sin, that is trying to surround us and sit us back, Paul says, get rid of it. Lay it aside. Put it away. Verse 1. Look at the word lay aside again. It says to put away. cast off, lay apart, put away. So it is letting us know that anything that puts our faith walk in jeopardy, it needs to be laid aside. When we lay aside these things, and it says, let us run with patience, because these things don't happen overnight, y'all. All the wonderful stuff don't happen overnight. The benefits of living for Yah doesn't happen overnight. The benefits of believing that Christ is the Son of Yah, and that he is the Savior of the world. Trusting in that and getting the benefits out of that may not happen overnight. In fact, when we look at it like Paul did, the manifestation of it at its highest level doesn't happen until our course has been finished. You got people mad at Yah and hadn't even finished the course. Man, I just don't believe in that God stuff, man, because look here, he ain't done nothing for me. Well, Scripture tells us we need to be patient. The race that we're running, the course that we have, we need to be patient and endure every facet of it. How do we endure it now? That's a place we got to look. Run with patience, verse 1. The race that is set before us. Doing what? Looking unto Jesus, Yahushua. Looking unto Yahushua, the author and the finisher. He is the very reason we're in this position, and he is the very reason we're going to finish this position. It amazes me how many people start out with Jesus but don't want to end with it. You know how people do it from a religious perspective. You got people all the time running to the altar saying, I want Jesus, and then from that point on, they pick up everything that they own. They pick up everything that they should have left. They still carry around weight and the sins and all these different things like that. The very thing that got us to the Father is the very thing that we have to stay with to finish it with the Father. That's what makes them greatest of every witness that we've looked at from Hebrews chapter 1 all the way up to Hebrews chapter 11, going into verse 12. Christ trumps them all. Why? Because he's the author and the finisher of it. Looking unto Yahushua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He had a course too. So we look at the best example. We look at the sacrificial lamb. Oh, yeah, I thank y'all for what David did. He's a good witness. I thank y'all for what our father Abraham did, Isaac did, Jacob, who Israel did. All the examples that I read, I thank y'all for them, boy. But when I look at the one who trumps them all, and consider what he did, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, that he be wearied and faint in your own mind. In other words, quit feeling sorry for yourself because you got some folks that's trying to hinder your walk with Yah. Look unto the author and the finisher who went through things 10 times, I'm just using that as a number for lack of a better word, who went through 10 times as much drama as what we go through and had such contradiction of sinners about who he was, and we sit here and thought about the little stuff we did. Every time we experience things that challenges our faith, consider him. Take note of all the witnesses. Go to Hebrews 11 and look at all of your examples. Look at all these good reports these people gave. They experienced things, did some things they didn't experience. They even died. All these things happened to them. Look at all this here. And then you jump right into chapter 12 to get up to the one that trumped them all. And that's who I need to keep my eyes on. I can pay attention, use the crowd of witnesses as examples to encourage me. But bottom line, I got to look to him who started it and is the finisher of it. I got to consider him in every circumstance. So when I attempt to try to be discouraged from what I'm going through, I got to consider him now. I got to give him a focus on him. You remember what I always said? I said, now, stress, I'm using the different words, stress, anxiety, frustration, all these different things are gauges to let us know that we're not walking by faith. When I'm talking about myself now. When I get stressed about life, then that is my gauge to let me know you're not living under him, Lon. What were you promised, boy? Didn't y'all promise you something? Look under him. Get your eyes off of your circumstance. Put it in your pity party. Look under him. Everything is going to be exactly the way that y'all said it was going to be. You got an author and a finisher. Look under him. So now when I start stressing, that's my gauge now. Oh man, I got to deal with all this stuff. I don't know how we gonna make it. I don't know how. You know, I can't figure this out, man. It's just a whole lot of stuff going on. I'm just feeling so stressed. Look under him. Look under him. You know, I might get a T-shirt and say, "Where you looking at?" I don't know. Where you looking at? You stressed? Where you looking at? Verse 3, for consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, that ye be weary and faint in your mind. If we get our focus off of him, we're going to always be weary and faint in our mind. Verse 4, he says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We haven't been fighting against sin so much to the point where you know, we get in bloody fights and different things like that about it. We look at verse 4 here and start to break down these words. It says, ye have not resisted. The word resisted means to sit down or against the which stood under blood. And striving against sin, that's what happened to Christ. Christ shed his blood because of sin. So we look to him because you ain't believing because you cast the stuff aside. Even if you were, look to him. What is saying in verse 4? For 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when ye are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And scourges every son whom he receiveth. Why would he start talking about him like that? He said in verse 4, he has not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou reproofest of him. Why would they throw that verse in there, you think? Dealing with these witnesses, showing the examples of Christ. But why would you think they're getting rebuked? Okay, let me deal with you for one example. How can I come at this to get you to see? Have you ever, I'm asking this question knowing that y'all have an answer that's agreeable. Okay? How many of you have ever gotten in trouble because you knew something and didn't do it? I mean, as a kid or whatever, you knew you were supposed to, you're supposed to take out the trash, you're supposed to wash the dishes, but something. It was something that you knew that you were supposed to be doing, and you didn't do it. And you got in trouble for it. How many of you have ever gotten in trouble for not doing something you knew you were supposed to do? I have, times over again. Well, with that in mind, Christ said, Paul is saying here, when you have the nerve to forget about the examples that's before you, when you have the nerve enough to forget, verse 5, when you forget these exhortations that is sent before you, then y'all are going to rebuke you because he loves you. So that's why you see it fall within the boundaries of these verses. Verse 4 says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. You ain't nobody cut your neck off because, you know, nobody has tried to kill you or made you, you know, experience bloodshed like Paul had to go through for things as far as the kingdom. And then it said, and then you want to forget about all this? See, when we position ourselves to get in a mindset of forgetfulness, and y'all, because y'all truly love us, he gonna get us back straight. We gonna be reminded of the walk, the faith walk. See, if y'all didn't love me when I forgot, how do I forget? When I don't trust him, if he didn't love me, he let me get away with it. That's how you know you belong to him. When we're not walking in the faith by which he has desired for us in our court, we get a reproof. People have a tendency to think that when you reproof them, it's because you don't love them. Y'all said when you forget and stop walking your course, you're going to get reproof because I love you enough to get you back on the path. I get rebuked every day. I get corrections every day. You know, I'm kind of a bad kid, you know. And I don't do everything bad. It's just that I'm always being corrected because y'all is always showing me his love. He corrects me in different ways when, you know, there may be times where a whole lot of stuff is going on that day, and I may get a little bit discouraged. And I just use this for an example. You know, I've been dealing with cars all day. In the heat all day, dealing with cars and stuff just all day long, you know, at the mechanic shop, you know, going to get parts for the car and different things like this just all day long. And things were just happening, and I had to keep my focus because when all these things started to happen and things don't quite go your way, and you know, you may get a phone call that's discouraging for whatever reason or another. I mean, all these things could be happening throughout the day of some things that's going on, and the minute now I start getting discouraged and think that my course now may be off, the y'all said, boy, you better sit down somewhere. I called you to be what you are, and you're going to be exactly what I said that you are. You're going to finish this course, and every facet of that course is going to be exactly the way that I said it was going to be. Now, since I'm tending on myself, there are examples that you can use or you can think about where you are, I'm telling on myself now, where you have forgotten about the witnesses, and y'all said, I love you enough to straighten you out. Because if I didn't, I let you continue on that little course that's going to cause you to be hindered, the weight and the sin. I let you continue on that little course. But when I reach and snatch you in that, when I reach and snatch you in that weight that you're dealing with, things that hinder you, when I reach and snatch you right in the middle of it hindering you, or when I reach and snatch you right in the middle of it something that's going to cause you to be in a pathway of sinful, then understand that that is my love now rebuking you and pulling you back to the course by which I decreed in your life. Man, that's love. So that's what he's really referring to when you look at verse 5. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art reproved. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye do, in verse 7, if ye endure chastening, Yah dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he of whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You don't have a father, that's what he's saying. Verse 9 now, and we can go back up to verses if we need to. Verse 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our own flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirit and live? Verse 10, for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. In other words, I give you an example of this. When I was with my children, I would do it based upon something that they did that offended me. Okay? In other words, I whooped them because it pleased me to whoop. It was a benefit to me. It wasn't a benefit to them when they whooped when I whooped them. It wasn't a benefit to them. This is what the scripture is letting us know. You have fathers who whoop you for their pleasure. They do it for their benefit. They're concerned about their reputation. Here you are, my child, and I told you not to go to that school and act up, and you went there and act up. So I'm going to come up there, and I'm going to whoop you for my pleasure. I'm going to whoop you because you embarrassed me. You know, you don't act like that in this house. Y'all say you have parents who will whoop you for their pleasure because their reputation is on the line. Y'all said, but I'm a father who whoop you for your benefit. So from that perspective now, we have to learn how even to deal with our children from a perspective of Yah. See, when I didn't know Yah, I would whoop a child for my benefit. You embarrassed me. But once my mind took on the mind of Christ now, I started to whoop them for their benefit. And that's why any one of my girls you ask, when daddy whooped you, what did he call it? Lovely. That's it. He called it lovely. Because I was doing it for their benefit. I learned how to become a father like my father, Yah. And so when I corrected them, I had their best interest at heart. But there was a time when I had mine that my best interest at heart. I'm going to whoop you because you're not going to be embarrassed to me in that school. I wrote my shift tight. So that's what it's saying here. Then we're all partakers. Verse 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirit and live? If my girls obey me and reverence me because I correct them, should they be much more in reverence of the Father who is the creator of all things? So I'm going to let you in on the secret. When I became a I don't want to just say a pastor or whatever. When I became someone who started to take on the mind of Christ, when I started to take on the mind of God, He started to deal with my mindset. Because I reverence Him as the Father, there are things that I wouldn't do because I reverence Him. I can get by with stuff with y'all. I could trick my dad and my mom. See what I'm saying? I reverence them, but there's one who I reverence more than them. I reverence Yah more than them. I reverence Yah more than anyone that exists throughout whatever, you know. I reverence Him more than anything. So since I reverence my mother and my father, then how much more should I reverence the one who created all things, including my mother and father? Verse 49, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirit and live? Why? Because we were in reverence to our parents because we know we would get a whooping for embarrassing them. So it was their reputation that was on the line. Y'all said, well, shouldn't you reverence me, who through my correction now call you to be able to live eternally? Crown of righteousness, as Paul said. Verse 10, for they burnly for a few days chases us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. See, a lot of parents won't admit that, but most of the time when a child gets a whooping because the parent said, you made me embarrassed. But y'all said, when I whoop you, it's because I'm saying in a nutshell, this is for your profit. You're benefiting from this whooping. When my mom whooped me, you know, I was raised by my mom. When my mom whooped me, she felt better. I didn't. I was over there in pain with well. But mom felt better. She still had a smile at you. You ain't gonna do it no more, you are. She was satisfied. I wasn't satisfied. I was so upset, boy. I did not like that woman. And that's why I ran every time. But I was like, this woman I'm finna get is not for my benefit. So you don't have to catch me. You run, I'm gonna whoop it. You're gonna whoop anyhow. You might as well turn it to attract me. Cause I'm gonna run. It's not for my benefit. You satisfied from this whooping. I am not satisfied. I got whips all on my leg and all on my butt. When you go to whooping, you don't care where you hit. You hit anywhere. You hit me upside the head with the belt. You hit me on the butt with the belt. You hit me on the leg with the belt. Whichever way you swing with the belt. Because I'm moving around and double at the same time. So you done hit me anywhere you can get me. So it is not a profit to me. So I'm going to run. But when you get me real good, you sitting over there in your chair rocking and you smiling because you done told me to rear end. But I don't benefit from that no kind of way. I'm in pain. I'm hurting. I'm rolling over. You know, everything's a little bit tender. Now I'm in school. They laugh at me. No, you must have got a whooping board on the belt. Wasn't a benefit to me. But we have a father now who said, when I get in your stuff, throw your hands up because this is going to benefit you. I'm doing everything for your benefit. So every time y'all deal with me, I love it when he deal with me because I said, boy, that lets me know I'm a son. And I know whatever I'm going through, it is for my benefit.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
Is that the same as when you shame the family name?
Yes, that's exactly what that means. When it says, what verse was it? Help me out, Elder. What verse was it? Verse 9, verse 9, it says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and gave reverence to them, shall we not? No, that's not the one. Verse 10, says, for they verily for a few days chastened us for after their own pleasure. That's what it's boiling down to. They're saying, you damaged the family name, and I'm going to get you for it. That's what they're saying. But Yah said, when we get out of line with him, he said, I'm gonna whoop you because I'm a father who loves you, but all of it for your benefit. I got a crown waiting for you. I don't need a crown. I'm the maker of the crown. I got the crown of righteousness. I don't need a crown. I'm the maker of it. I created the crown of righteousness. I want to give you something. And the only way I'm going to give it to you is to keep you on the course. And when you get off course, I'm going to deal with you, and I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to do everything to keep you on course because I got this crown of righteousness that I want to give to you. So when we look at it in its totality, everything that Yah deals with us about, and he corrects us, he rebukes us, and he do all these things, it's for our benefit. Yah doesn't have a reputation among men that can be damaged. Our parents do, of the flesh, but Yah doesn't. So when he corrects us, he's trying to get us to a wonderful place. Not him to a wonderful place, he's just wonderful all the time. So he don't need us to do right for him to be wonderful. He says, if you're not faithful, I am faithful to myself. I can't deny me. That's what he said. I will always be faithful. I will never deny myself. I am who I am. So everything I do for you is for your benefit. So yes, that is what that means. Exactly what that means. That means verse 10. Now, I'll tell you what, we'll go ahead and just, we'll stop at verse 10. I'll read it again, we'll just stop at that. Verse 10 says, for they verily for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure. But Yah do this, he chases us. When you look at the word, let's deal with it. It means education or training. Okay, and so I say the word whooping, but it deals with education and training. Y'all have to always correct you. When I'm giving you information, you know, I use the example as far as whooping is concerned, but I want you to see the totality of it all. We may get a whooping, but whichever way it happens, it is for educational purposes. So he says, when I educate you or train you, disciplinary correction, so it does deal with the whoopings too. So when you look at chastisement, it is a combination of all. When you have God now sitting you down saying, this is this and this is this, that is chastisement.
You
understand?
I'm
just
saying, if you don't
have been clear, that's what he said. Oh, you know, okay, here we go. You're not going to listen. Here we go. You're going to finish my course. I'm going to expose y'all. Can I expose it to y'all? I'm going to expose y'all and then I'm going to close. Yah desperately wants to give us his crown of righteousness. He wanted to give it to us more than anything. So much so to the point where he sent his own son to die just so he could give it to you. And you think he's going to let you get away with something once he got you? Oh, she or he is beside themselves? Oh, I'm going to give him this crown of righteousness, so let me start creating some events to bring them back where it's supposed to be. Let me educate them. Let me discipline them. Let me bring forth some form of correction because I love them. I don't know about y'all, but that's the kind of stuff that just keep me looking unto him as the author and the finisher of my faith, to love me that much, to be willing to correct me when I'm wrong because it's all for my benefit. That is a wonderful God and son. All right? Any? questions, comments? We're good. We got a wonderful Father, y'all. We have a wonderful Father, and we have a wonderful Son who is the Savior, of us to give us access to that wonderful Father. We have the best of the best. All right. Father, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for revealing to us your love, that you love us so much that you correct us, you educate us, you make disciplinary changes or actions in our lives, and you just love us, and we thank you for that. We thank you that we have all of these witnesses as examples to keep us walking the course that's necessary to receive the crown of righteousness that Paul mentioned. And we just praise you for all that you are and who you are in our lives. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.